If you've been in church life any time at all, you've known people that have come and gone. They might have been bright and shining stars, been involved in everything. They might have been Sunday school teachers, deacons, and then all of a sudden, hit and miss, more miss than hit, and just disappeared. They just turned back. And you wonder about that. In fact, some of you probably sit here that have been here a long time can probably look at certain chairs and remember people that used to be here. What causes that kind of thing? You know, how can someone be going full speed ahead and then disappear off the planet? It happens all the time, unfortunately. There are many that I've known over the years that have turned back. I have to confess there were times I felt like it. Yeah, there's just stuff happens in your life. And so as we look at things, you know, Jesus was healing the crowds and feeding them and all that. He had a crowd and ended up with just about 100-something followers in the book of Acts in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. It's fun, you know, when you're getting fed. And that's one thing even about church. I notice if you sing to them and you feed them, they hear. If all you're doing is preaching, well, that's another story. That's spiritual feeding, but it's amazing. If some of us were physically fed as much as we're spiritually fed, there'd be a whole lot of anorexics running around. Okay? And it's sad that it's come to that, but most of the time you have to entertain to get a person to come to church. Now, there was a time in my early pastoral life that I would beg, plead, scream, yell, practically get on my knees for people to come serve and come to church and all that. And I finally got to realize that it's not my job. If the Holy Spirit's not doing it, I sure ain't going to do it. Okay? They might do it for me for a little bit if they like me, because actually every now and then some people do actually like me. It's amazing, I know. You know, but some people will do some things for me sometimes, you know, maybe out of pity. I don't know. So the poor guy, I got to do something to help him, right? But it's great when all that's going on, and when the crowd is excited. I mean, you're in the midst of 5,000 people that are getting fed. That's got to be an excited crowd. There's got to be electricity going on there. But what happens when the crowd starts fading away? Are you going to hang in there? Jesus has just taught, you know, the masses that he had to eat his flesh and drink his blood over in John chapter 6. And that really didn't set well, because that just, they didn't understand it spiritually, and they kind of, what are you talking about, cannibalism? And yeah, I mean, I know you fed us with the fish and the loaves, 5,000 people, but how are you going to do that with you as your body? You know, they just went way over their head. And then he comes along in verse 65 and says, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him of my Father. Well, like, okay, fine, I'm here, I thought I was given, but now you tell him nobody can come, and I'm confused, and this is not fun anymore. I have to think. You know, thinking is not our strong suit these days. I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, I'm afraid that somewhere the gene pool has gotten rather low. You know, if you're eating Tide Pods, there's something wrong. You know? I mean, we watched Wile E. Coyote, but we didn't try to jump off cliffs and things, you know? We kind of understood where reality and fantasy was, but I'm not so sure that's prevalent anymore. Yeah, it's got to make you wonder. It says in 66, then from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Yeah. If you preach smooth things to me, preacher, if you make me feel lifted, I'll be there. And now you're getting into some theology, and you're getting into some stuff that needs to be spiritually discerned, and really doesn't even make me happy. Like, I'm kind of bored. I'm done. See, have a good day, preacher. I'm going down the street because I know there's at least 17 more churches going to start within the next 6 months. One of them ought to fit me. Right? Maybe not. Because whatever problem you got, you're going to take it with you. And it's going to be a problem there, and then you'll go to the next new thing, and the next new thing, and the next new thing. And I'd like to say that eventually you'd run out of new things, and maybe you'd actually come back. But there's always a new thing. Some preacher always has a new twist on something that those of you who eat asparagus are going to hell. So, you know, you got to come to my church because we preach against asparagus. It's, you know, you laugh, but I'm telling you, things I've heard over the years, not much off from that. You know, it's pretty close. So then Jesus says unto the 12, "Will you go away too? Y'all, everybody else is leaving. You going?" And then my buddy Peter, my soul brother, first guy I want to meet right after Jesus is Peter, man. I want to high five and say, "Man, we both made it. Hallelujah." You know? He says, "To whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's true. If you turn back for whatever, the crowd or some of the other reasons I'm going to talk about, where are you going to go? Back to the world? You can do that for a while, but you're miserable. Yeah, that's the bad thing about it. The worst person in the world is a backsliding Christian, because he ain't happy in church. He's miserable when he comes to church, and he's not happy in the world anymore either, because the Holy Spirit's banging him left and right. Yeah, telling you, "Ding dong, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be doing that. What's wrong with you? Da, 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 da." You know, you think, guys, you think your wife can nag? Let the Holy Spirit nag on you. The Holy Spirit's in your case. You better give up and pay attention, because he's not giving up. Because he called, you know, he sealed you. He sealed you to the day of redemption. He gifted you. He fulfilled you for the mission that God called you. And he's not just going to let you just be stupid. He's going to be after you. You have your free will, but you'll be sorry you had it some days. Okay. So, you know, it's always good, again, when there's amens and hallelujahs. Woo, everybody comes to church. But sometimes nothing like that happens in church, because the Holy Spirit wants you to be sober. And you know, we men are supposed to be, you know, we're all called to be sober, vigilant for adversary the devil. Sometimes we're too busy wanting to be hee-hee, happy, holy, woo, and we're not very sober. And we're drunk on our feelings, but we're not drunk in the spirit. But what happens when the glory stops? Now, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Woo-hoo! I'm kicking out devils. That's fun. And even in the book of Acts, it said, when they prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Boy, that must have been a fun place to be, too. But you know, it isn't all boldness. It isn't all whoopee and whipping on the devil. And be careful how you say that. There's a song I heard one time. "Come on, everybody, let's beat on the devil." You better let the Lord beat on the devil. Because even though you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're gifted, the devil's still a pretty strong fellow. Defeated, toothless lion in many ways, but even a toothless lion can crush your arm. Okay? So be careful that you're not trying to beat on the devil. Because if Michael the archangel has to say, "The Lord rebuke you," anybody here outrank Michael? Not this one. Michael the archangel. I don't think so. So if that's all he gets, you're probably not getting much more. Okay? So just be careful. Be careful. I've heard some people say some things that I was scared. I was ready to run. I was ducking. You know, you've heard people say things you wanted to duck, lightning, God was going to strike lightning with you. Man, I was waiting for the devil to throw something at that guy right there when he told some of that stuff. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. When things don't turn out the way you want them to turn out, it goes from wahoo and hallelujah to woo-hoo, boo-hoo and misery. Why me? But you know, I don't know where some of these guys get some of this stuff, that no matter what, brother, you're always going to be happy, rich, healthy. Nothing is ever going to go wrong with you because you belong to Jesus. Someone hasn't read the whole book or the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. We go from Hebrews 11, verse 3, down to the middle of 35, and it sounds like that's all it is. It's, hey, it's just nothing but victory, baby. It's all good. We're going to have everything fun. Then you get down to the middle of that verse. It starts out, women receive their dead raised to life again. Yep, that's what I've been reading the whole time. But, oops, let's continue. Continue to the end. It says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. There's a party. Right? They were stoned. And it doesn't mean all you hippies. Doesn't mean that stone, okay? I'm from that generation. That's not what they're talking about. They were sawn asunder, or cut up for folks who don't get that, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute. Whoops, that don't sound like prosperity to me. afflicted, tormented. Well, so much for I'm okay, you're okay. That doesn't work there either. Of whom the world was not worthy. And that's true. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having a good report through faith, received not the promise. All these, including the first guys that had all the victory, and the second group of people that had all the woe. As long as everything is honky-dory, A-okay, and I love what's going on, we're there. We're at the party. Well, what happens when it's not a party anymore? Will you turn back? Well, God, it was a nice ride, but, you know, you let me down. I go to work and they laugh at me. I go to work and they pick on me. Ever have somebody threaten to kill you because you're a Christian? Been there, done that. That's no fun, let me tell you. Some days it's just not glory, folks. If you look at how Jesus' life went, you know, and you're supposed to be like Jesus, Christian, Christ-like, and they crucified the master, what makes you think you're living in a $10 million house, flying a Learjet, and never even have a hiccup, right? Where do we get that stuff? Not in the book. It preaches well, sells books well, but it's not in the book. What do you do when people think you're crazy? Sometimes when we do go through the suffering, we go through the problems, and we're living by faith and by grace, and we're, you know, showing our faith through our actions, there people think we're nuts. How can you lose your job and still be happy? How can you be dying of something and still be praising the Lord? Well, because he's still God. Everything is still the same it was after my problem as it was before my problem. I mean, here's poor David. He's praying and fasting and everything to keep his son by Bathsheba. And God said no. And so what's he do? He gets up, cleans up, asks for something to eat, and everybody thinks you're nuts. What are you doing? You should have been eating before. Now you fast. Now you pray. Now you mourn. No. I can go to him, but he can't come to me. So why do it now? It was hope of grace before that God might have mercy on me. But now that I know the child is gone, life moves on. I know where he's at, and I'm going there. Which brings us to a part. When you lose a loved one, do you turn back? Now, I don't know there's anybody in here that doesn't know, especially after Sunday, that I lost a son back in October, although I did not lose him because I know where he's at. Now, the temptation that I know of a lot of people, because I've witnessed to people over the years, and I've tried to minister to people over the years, when they lose a loved one suddenly, or God didn't answer the prayer to heal them, hit the bricks. Now, there's a time of grief, and there are times you may want to be alone, and you struggle, and you can be angry at God, because, you know, God's pretty big. I don't think you're going to hurt him. Jeremiah called him a liar. Moses got in his face about some things. I think he can handle your grief and your outcry. Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that too much. But you don't turn away. If you ever needed Daddy, it's then. If you ever needed Jesus, it's then. Do you understand? No. People ask me, you know, that sometimes, do you understand what happened? Not totally, but I have some ideas. But it doesn't really matter because he's gone. The good thing is, he died a godly man, and I know where he's going to be at. And now, opposite, most young men try to live up to their father's legacy. I have to live up to my son's. You know, I was astounded at the people he impacted. And still, my daughter-in-law gets all kinds of notes and stuff from people saying how much Barron, you know, affected their lives, and were a blessing, and challenged them, and all that. For a kid that wasn't ordained, didn't go to seminary, didn't have a pulpit, I say did pretty good. How can I be mad at God for that? Yeah, can't. You know, think of Job. He lost 10 children in a snap. Whew. That'd be rough. I mean, that'd be really rough, okay? Kind of like this poor, you know, this pastor down in South Texas that, what, buried 9 of his people in one day? Did he turn back? No. Well, Job could have. He could have just said, you know, that's it, God, I'm done with that. You took my wealth, okay, I can live with that. You took my health, okay, that's cool, but now you took all the kids. I'm mad. I'm upset. You betrayed me. Yeah. And unfortunately, during some of those times, you know, we have support systems, most of us, but every now and then they fail. I mean, look at Job's friends. What a crew that was. Wouldn't you really like to have them coming around when you're not feeling good? Well, you must have sinned somewhere, buddy. You really messed it up. That's why I got, well, thank you very much. Just add the insult to injury, okay? I mean, it's pretty bad when the young guy in the group had to stand up and say, y'all nuts. Paul, you got it wrong. Yeah, it's supposed to be they should speak. You know, the elder should be the wiser and should be able to speak. But those three guys were not very smart, not very wise. And Job was trying to keep his integrity, trying to stick with God even in his grief. But he didn't have his theology completely right either. God had to teach him a few things. But you think of Job's wife. Now, yeah, granted, you cut the woman some slack. She's lost her wealth. She's lost her children. She's watching her husband suffering. You're probably not in the greatest mindset. But it's still rough to have your wife who, if nobody else loves you, if nobody else gives you any comfort, you come home from work and the place is a wreck in your mind, and you come home, at least hopefully you have your spouse that loves you enough to say something to you. Babe, that's all right. They can say what they want. They can do what they want. But I love you. Not her. Why are you maintaining your integrity? Just cuss God and die. Well, not very supportive. In her mind, though, it might have been a way out. She says, why put up with this suffering? Because at least her health she still had, apparently. You know. Yeah, he says, forget it. Just, you know. And of course, he had to tell her, well, you're talking like one of the foolish women. And here's where he had his theology kind of messed up when he said, shouldn't we accept good from God and also evil? Remember, what happened to him didn't come from God. The devil did it. God allowed it, but the devil did it. The devil was doing all the mess. You know, so he's thinking he's getting the evil from God, which he's not. So he said, this is still early in mankind's history, working with God after the fall. Didn't have all the puzzle pieces put together yet, and this is one he missed. And if you think that's bad, how'd you like to be the guy born blind over in John chapter 9? All his life he's heard, man, your mom and dad must really be sinners because you're born blind. But man, what did you do in the womb, dude? I mean, you were in the womb and you messed up since you were born blind. And every time he'd be around his mom and dad, he might be able to sense guilt on their part, thinking like, what did we do, God? What did we do? There's no support system even for him because nobody outside cares about him. His parents are convinced they did something, but he's thinking, well, maybe it's my fault. That's a good reason to turn away from God, at least in the mind of a human. But the cool part is, he says, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Do you ever think that sometimes the boo-boos that you're having in life, is God prepping you? The pain that you're going through, is God prepping you for a ministry? Prepping you to help somebody else? For years, I counseled a lot of funerals. And I said, I understand. We lost a mother. We lost a father. Didn't really understand the child. I got it now. I will be able to minister to someone like that much better than I was before. In fact, most of the things that I've gone through that really stunk in my life, I always found somebody that needed the comfort wherewith I was comforted to help them through. If I'd have skated through life, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips and like playing love story all my life, what could I tell? Well, the book is real. The book is true. But it's like preacher talks about us going out and helping people and being Jesus with skin on. It helps when somebody in the flesh is telling you that verse and said, hey, I've been there. I have worn those shoes. I have traveled that path rather than just cold quotes. Anybody can quote a scripture, but not everybody can feel it. Not everybody can really put it out there. But once you've been there, the word becomes alive to you, and you're able to share life with somebody else. And that's why we're here. When trials or persecutions come, will you stand or turn back? This is something Western church is going to have to get really used to. Everybody always says it won't happen here. This here is America, the land of the free. We're never going to have any problems. This is a Christian nation. Not so much. Very secular, very atheistic. Eastern religions are taking over. All kinds of stuff. There was a day. But even those among us that are Christians are so confused about what's right, what's wrong. We're over in Hebrews, instead of Hebrews chapter 5, where we're supposed to be teachers, we have to be taught again the basics of Christianity. Because we got people who are Christian that believe in evolution. We got Christians who believe abortion's okay. I thought we were all reading the same book. How does this happen? Because there are a lot of ethnic Christians in this, traditional Christians in this country, not necessarily real Christians in this country. Every church has its share of lost people, carnal people, spiritual people, and people just hanging out. Now, when a church tells you they're looking for a pastor and they're telling you they have 1,150 in the morning, 150 at night, and 50 on Wednesday night, something's not right. Something just is not right with that. You have a church of 50 that every now and then you get 1,100 visitors. You don't really have a church that size. They're just coming because they like the preacher and to get their weekly fix in Jesus. Yeah, those of us that are, again, old hippies, get the fix thing, right? That sounds harsh. And trust me, if there's anybody that needs grace, it's me. Anybody that needs mercy, it's me. So I don't want to be harsh for harsh sake. But truth is truth. You know? Every person that is saved has a gift that God gave to use for the edification of the body. Not just the edification of yourself. So you all have a job here. What it is between you and God, because I don't know every one of your gifts. I don't claim to be one of those guys that I look at Glenda and say, Glenda, you're supposed to be. No, I don't do that. I don't think too many other people do either in reality. But they like to think that sometimes. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall. Any persecution lately? If not, maybe you're not living godly. The devil's not mad at you. He ain't doing nothing. You're no threat. Hey, I'll leave them alone. Yeah, ain't doing nothing. But get out and try to do something with the Lord once and see what happens. Tires go flat. Get sick. Kids get sick. Yeah, something goes on. Bill comes up you weren't planning on. Yeah. That's not just coincidence. This is a battlefield. This is a war zone. Yeah, this is not R&R. You're a warrior. You're a soldier. Quit turning tail. Quit being AWOL. I'm losing a lot of friends, I can tell. Anyhow, but you know, why do you think it's strange that it happens that way? Because what did James tell you? Don't think it's strange. It's normal for you to have trials and temptations. It's normal. Your adversary, the devil's not sitting down there like, oh, snookers. John got saved. I guess I just have to sit back and wait till he dies to get him out of my way. You know, yeah, when he goes to glory, I won't have to worry about him anymore. You know, I don't have to worry about him now. No, he's worried that John's going to get on fire and do something. So he's going to make John's life a little difficult. You know, it's not going to be ring-dings and whoopee pies, okay? It's just not going to be that way, folks. It says, the trying of your faith works patience. And I know a lot of Christians don't have any patience. They just don't. They want it, and they want it now, and I want it fixed, and that's, and it better be that way. Well, might as well suck that up, because it ain't going to happen. Just get over that one, you know. You're married to an old Navy guy. I'm military. I don't always flower things up, okay? It says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, resisting against sin. Wow. You have to resist unto blood? Ask some of our brothers and sisters in other countries. They're in prison. They're raped. They're murdered. Mutilated. Burned alive. Why? Because they're evil people? Nope. Just because they're Christian. And we're sitting over here in our nice little safe zone. We fuss about the millennials. You know, I need a safe zone. Well, that's pretty much where most Christianity is. Hide in the church house. Have your little safe zone. Hear your three hymns or more. Hear a little sermon and go home and done. That's it. All she wrote. It's not our calling, brethren. It's not our calling. So I said, I did not retire to sit. I retired to serve. Because now I have the time. I asked God many years ago to make me financially independent so I can minister without worrying about a paycheck. I'm not a Rockefeller or a Trump, but I am comfortable enough that I can do that. I do not have to work. I can volunteer. I can serve. I can do things. It's what I'm called to do. A little girl at the library just sometimes just go, oh, you're just so wonderful. No, I'm not. Over Luke, it talks about the unprofitable servant, that after he did all that he could possibly do, he was still unprofitable because that's all he did, because what he was required to do. So if I do 100 things, and I'm required to do 100 things, I'm not doing anything special. I'm doing what I'm called to do. We got to quit getting the big head. Sometimes people get the big head, you know. It's, oh, man, God, it's so good to have me in the kingdom, isn't it? What would you do without me in the kingdom, God? Well, he'd get along. Just fine. It's a privilege to serve. Yeah, God doesn't need anything. But he wants you and I to serve in the kingdom with him. And he wants to bless our gift, and he wants to bless us. That's why so many saints look like they've been sucking pickle juice, is because they've been sitting on their gift for 30 years, and they're bored. They don't want to go to heaven. I'm fed up with this place. I'm bored. Christianity should not be boring. It should be anything but boring. You should be trying to figure out, Lord, can I get a breath? Can I take a vacation? Not like, no, not supposed to be that way. Some people get upset and turn back if they suffer. Peter tells us that if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You think I was happy when the guys were cursing at me all the time and one guy threatened to kill me just because I was trying to be a good Christian? No. I was not tickled about it. I wasn't ashamed of it. I said, well, if that's what you got, man, if that's what you got to do, go ahead and rock it on, because I got to be what I got to be, and I'm not even a good Christian. So God bless you. For the real one to come around here, a really good one, you'd really be mad. You'd probably pass out from the glory that hit you, okay? He says, you know, don't be ashamed, but glorify God in his behalf. Richard Wurmbrand one time was in jail and in an interview, as they called it, or interrogation. The guy beat the fire out of him. I mean, just beat him all over the place. And he yelled and cried out in pain. Well, duh. It makes sense. But when he got back to his cell and realized it was Holy Week, he felt bad. And so the next day he went in, he said they tied him to the same table, and the guy came in and he said, I kind of tensed myself getting ready for the party. And the guy said, well, no, we're not going to do any of that today. And Vern Brown said to him, says, sir, I owe you an apology. The guy looks at him, you owe me an apology? He said, yes, sir. Yesterday when you beat me, it was Holy Week. The same week they crucified my Lord, and I've been blessed and honored to be beaten with him on that week. I should not have cried out. Whew. know about you, but I don't like pain. Me and Brother Mike got that. High five. We don't like pain. Both military men, but don't like pain. Don't mind giving other people pain, but I don't like pain, okay? Yeah, so that's how it is. Be honest, right? He says, glorify God as you get to suffer for him. And obviously the devil thinks you're enough of a problem that he has to make life tight. He has to tighten down the screws. He's got to see if he can drive you nuts. See if he can bring you into despair so you'll just turn back. Resist, you know. Just don't resist anymore. And it'll be all good. And you'll be miserable. Don't resist. I mean, don't resist. Don't give up. It says, for a time has come, judgment starts at the house of God. It first begins with us. Judgment at the house of God. Now, we're not going to suffer the wrath of God in the tribulation. But it doesn't mean we won't suffer the wrath of men. And that wrath of men will clean us up. Persecution starts in this country. It will separate the men from the boys, so they say. The rats will leave the sinking ship. You'll find out, whoop, I thought that person was spiritual. Gone. Might be the one to turn you in. You never know. It starts with us. God's judgment is coming. And he's cleaning up his body. So he has that pure church when he gets there. It's not church as always anymore. Not just, oh, here we are on another Sunday, another Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. You know, no, that's going to cease. And for you to make it through, you better start preparing now and giving up yourself before it gets taken from you. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? We are kind of saved by the skin of our teeth, really. One act of faith in what he did, that's pretty slicing it thin right there. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says you get there even as a Christian, and if your life wasn't really all that wonderful, you just kind of mark time until you hit the glory bound train, and everything goes whoosh, up in flames, wood, hay, and stubble. You're at least saved, yet though as by fire. That's cutting it pretty thin too. So we are scarcely saved. Scarcely saved by grace. But Brother Ron, what am I supposed to do? How about looking up? Moving forward. Don't turn back. Get off the pew. Get out of yourself. Get out of your comfort zone. Do what God wants you to do. But you've got to look for it. He's probably stuck it in front of your face, and you've ignored it so long you don't see it anymore. You ever hear that thing where they say the best place to hide something is right in front of somebody? That's pretty much true. God probably has the gift just right there in your face, but you've rejected it and resisted it so long you don't even see it anymore. You have to ask God to open your eyes. You want Holy Spirit power to do what? Sit on the pew? Whee. You know? I've looked at the spiritual gifts. I don't see pew sitting as one of them. Pew warming. And I know, Brother John, you told me one time, don't be picking on us introverts like you extroverts. You don't have to do what I do. But he does have a position for the introvert. There's all kinds of parts of the body. I mean, you see the flesh, the hands here, but there's organs up in here. They're doing some really great work, and you don't see them. So that's okay if you're an introvert. You can be the liver. You can be the kidney. I'll be the mouth, okay? We all got to be something. I heard an amen. Yes, hallelujah. Hey, just be keeping it real, okay? Hebrews says, wherefore seeing we are so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? There's even a newer one updated to include some of our brethren that are suffering today. There was nothing boring about their life. They put their stuff out there. And when you're pierced through all sorts of things and through iron maidens and all kinds of things that happened during the Inquisitions and some other things, it puts us to shame. You know, Wernher Brand, when he finally got out of Romania and came over here, he asked the Romanians what he wanted the Americans to do. He said, tell them, send us Bibles, print and presses, money, but don't send us your missionaries. We don't want your style of Christianity. Stab in a heart and twist. But he's right. Our Christianity is just way too mild. Hallelujah, I'm saved, us for no more. When do I get out the door? We meet, we eat, we retreat when we're at war. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is beside us. You can't win a race sitting on the sideline. You got to run. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the example of how it starts, how it's supposed to end, who for the joy that was set before him. We all want that joy of heaven. Anybody here not want to go to heaven? I think sometimes the people are looking forward to a 25-room mansion. If they don't get it, I think they're going to tell God they're going to hell. I don't know what that's all about either. That's another American thing. We think we have to have 25-room mansions in heaven. Why? Explain that one to me, please, because I don't get it. But anyhow, he says, he looked to the joy that's set before him, endured the cross. Your Christianity is not just supposed to be happy, happy, joy, joy. You're going to have to endure. You're supposed to take up your cross daily. A cross is a thing of death, pain, misery, agony. Nothing good about it. Nobody wakes up in the morning going, hee hee, I'm going to the cross. Hallelujah. No, not happening. He despised the shame. What if you got a traffic ticket and the punishment was you had to walk naked downtown in front of everybody? You really wouldn't like that, would you? But he was traipsed through the town naked, beaten, bleeding, and hung naked for hours with everybody laughing and mocking him. But if it's raining too hard, we're not going to church. Yeah, I think I got a bit of a headache. You know, well, yeah, the devil will give you a headache to keep you out of church. Duh. I don't feel qualified. Nobody is. That's the joy of it. You don't have to be qualified. He will qualify you. He will equip you. Woo! Well, now I'm going to get Pentecostal. Look out. I'm getting fired up. Look out. Another hour, we'll be done. Anyhow, he says, he did all that, then he sat down in the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And what's he there for? To ever make intercession for us? That as we're going through the trials, the pain, the agony, the frustration, the ministry, he's praying for us. You think he gets his prayers answered? Anybody ever have a prayer that wasn't answered? Yeah? If Jesus asked for something, you think the Lord says, nah, sorry, you hit your quota. No. But he went through all that for us. How come we can't go through something for him? Forget your Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it or whatever. Easter's got nothing to do with that stuff. Easter's about sacrifice. Easter's about new birth, victory, revelation, all kinds of stuff. Sometimes I think we degrade it with the things that we do because we take it for granted. It's just another holiday. And a holiday came from Holy Day, but we always don't always make the day holy. So something we need to think about, you know. So are you moving forward? Are you in the brink of turning back? Don't do it. You'll not like yourself. Keep going forward. Look up. Jesus got you. He knows where you're going. He knows what you need. Look to the rock. And I'll close with a little poem I wrote about the rock. The rock, the rock, the forces of evil rage around me like a wildfire. Fears, doubts, and failures howl fiercely within me. But I will stand. I will stand on the rock. That rock is Jesus. Are you on the rock? Are you moving forward? Are you turning back? Don't do it. Please don't do it. Father, I just praise and thank you, Lord, for these people that endured me. Father, hopefully something was there to help them. Father, I ask that Jesus put your hand upon each and every one of them, Father. Draw them close in your arms of love. Show them their gifts. Show them the passion that you have for them to work in your field. Show them the passion you have to want to bless them with fruit that will last for eternity, not just stuff that will burn up. We have too much stuff. Lord, we need fruit. Father, bless them as they go home tonight. Wrap them in your presence. Grant them wisdom. Grant them discernment. And then, Father, bust them loose in your name. Amen. Thank you, church. Good night.